We have several items before us, members. The first item is an appointment to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. You all have a letter in your packet, and I'm appointing Senator Hoffman to that board. Is there any discussion? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Senator Fischbach moves the appointment of Senator Hoffman to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. All right. Secondly, members, we have Senate File 1308 before us. This is Senator Livermore on a constitutional amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. A few days ago, the Judiciary Committee passed Senate File 1308. It is a ballot question addressing the definition of marriage in the state of Minnesota. It's a constitutional amendment, and the constitutional amendment would read, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to provide that only a union of one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Minnesota. We had a thorough vetting of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. The approximate time was a little over 3 hours of presentation and discussion. We had proponents of the bill speak for 1 hour, and we also had opponents of the bill speak for 1 hour, and then the balance of the time in the committee, the committee discussed, heard random discussion from testifiers as they discussed and asked further questions. The bill is now in its proper form and before you as a rules committee.
Right. Discussion, members. Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, you know, this isn't something that we have to do this year. We are not going to have constitutional amendments on the ballot until next year. And this is a very controversial constitutional amendment that's being proposed here. We have a very limited amount of time left before the session is going to be over. I don't believe using the time we have on something that can wait until next year is really the best use of our time. I also have always said, when I was on the Rules Committee previously, that I prefer to know what all the constitutional amendments that are being proposed might be before we start deciding which ones to put on the ballot, because you can't have too many on the ballot. And I'm not sure at this point in time we really know exactly what all of the constitutional amendment choices might be. And so I don't think acting on this today in this Rules Committee is a very good idea.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Berglund, we did have that a similar question and discussion that Senator Berglund brought up about why are we having this proposal before us today. And there is a reason. As you know, definition of marriage is rather a personal one between just about every citizen in the state of Minnesota. There's a court case that's pending regarding the definition of marriage. Two individuals sought a marriage license in Hennepin County. They were dismissed in court, claiming that they had no legal standing. They have avowed publicly that they're planning on bringing it forward to go to a higher court, and as a result of that, that also creates a sense of expediency for the legislature to act. But not only that, the reason to do this year, to decide this year by the legislature, is to give the public over a year to publicly discuss amongst themselves in a kind of a statewide community, to discuss and direct, hopefully, us in the next election on where we're going on the definition of marriage, rather than let maybe even just one judge, make the definition alter or change. And so it's really to recognize and respect the public in have and giving them plenty of time to make this decision before next November's election.
Senator Cohn.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, I didn't realize that there was a pending court case, but that being the case, would it not make more sense to wait until there's some definitive decision by the state Supreme Court and then propose an amendment that would be a reaction one way or another to a definitive court case?
Madam Chair and Senator Cohen, I believe, and I believe the proponents of the bill believe, that this is an issue that's so broad and of an intimate nature that it really should not be in the hands of a court. It should be in the hands of the people of Minnesota.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Madam Chair, I think just the fact that these bills are pending in the legislature, the public are going to be discussing these ideas. I don't think we need to have it passed by the Rules Committee or on the floor of the Senate in order for that to happen. I think if the idea is for justices to know that this is an issue of discussion in the legislature, I think they probably do know that. And so we don't need to use the little time we have left where we're supposed to be talking about resolving a budget, we're supposed to be talking about jobs, we're supposed to be talking about the economy of our state. None of those things relate to this, so I would think we have better use of our time. This is a very controversial subject, and we'll take a lot of time if we do move it on.
Thank you. Senator Langseth?
Well, Madam Chair, I have voted against every constitutional amendment back to the lottery. And when I voted for that, I felt afterwards I had made a mistake, because first thing you know, casinos were popping up all over the state of Minnesota because, partly because of our actions. And since then, we've had two that deal with very significant financial matters, which is really taking some very serious matters out of this future legislature. So I really think that, I guess you could say I'm very conservative when it comes to the Constitution. I do not think it should be changed unless there's some very strong reason for it to change. And as you know, we have a 7-0 Supreme Court decision at one time dealing with this matter, and we have a state law. So I'm gonna oppose this. One thing, I think the timing is bad. I think it should be next year that we deal with this, but I think we're putting too many things in the Constitution that don't belong there.
Further discussion? Senator Limmer, then...
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Sundrum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Limmer, I'm just... I'm struggling a little bit, and I would emphasize just a little bit with the language on line 115 where it shall... where it says, shall be valid or recognized. So it's like it could either be valid or it could just be recognized, and... Could you just give me some idea why you used either? It would just seem to me that just saying valid would be appropriate, but I'm sure that the term recognized also has merit to what you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. Could you just explain that?
Sure.
And I'm not sure I made myself clear, but.
I think I get it, Senator Sundrum. Madam Chair.
Senator Limmer.
The better person to address this is legal counsel, Ms. Teresa Collette. I know that I was not prepared with testifiers. That's the rules of this committee, but I did have her here for a legal question if it came up. So I would like to pass it off to Teresa Collette, counsel.
Well, that will be all right, Senator Limmer. Ms. Collette, I would ask that you continue your remarks to simply the question before us.
Absolutely, Madam Chairman. Senator Sundrum, the reason both phrases, both words are included is valid would apply to those individuals who seek a marriage license in the state of Minnesota. Recognized would apply to those individuals who attempt to obtain recognition relationships that are created outside the state of Minnesota.
Madam Chair.
Senator St. John.
Ms. Collette, or to the author, is there such a thing as common law marriage in Minnesota? I mean, we've talked in those terms for as long as I can remember, but does that exist legally?
Ms. Collette, before you start your remarks, I would need you to recognize yourself for the tape as well. Sorry, just a housekeeping, but we need your name for the tape.
Certainly. My name is Teresa Collette. I'm here with Senator Limmer to discuss the legal aspects of this bill. Common law marriage is no longer recognized in a majority of states. It was an artifact of a time when rural relationships could not be entered into in front of a public official. In this instance, if a common law marriage has been entered into in another state, it is quite possible that the courts of this jurisdiction would recognize it for purposes of dissolution of the marriage or inheritance rights.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Senator Cohn.
Madam Chair, Ms. Clay, I don't mean to make this a judiciary committee hearing. I apologize.
I would appreciate that.
But if you'll just allow me one question.
A little attitude, yes, Senator Cohn.
Maybe the chairman of the Judiciary Committee or the Public Safety Committee can help me on this one as well. But if we're going to prohibit recognition, let me just present a hypothetical. I'm not sure how many states allow marriage of this sort, but I think Vermont as an example. So hypothetically, a couple in Vermont, married in Vermont, get divorced in Vermont. I assume that's pursuant to Vermont dissolution law. One member of the couple moves to Minnesota with some of the property divided in the Vermont family court. The other person follows that individual to Minnesota and says, this isn't recognized. This person stole my property. And the order of the family court relative to the dissolution of that marriage in Vermont is invalid because we don't recognize it. How do you find your way out of that one?
Ms. Collette and Senator Cohn, it is getting dangerously close to Judiciary Committee in here.
This will be
but
it,
thank
Madam
you,
Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator, in fact, Vermont only recently moved from its process of civil unions, which was imposed on the people of Vermont through a court order in Baker versus the state of Vermont, to marriages. So the hypothetical itself is highly unlikely to happen. One of the problems with Vermont law, in fact, was that while out-of-state residents could enter into a legal union in that state, it took 1 year of residency to be eligible for divorce. Oh. However, to be responsive to a hypothetical you did not pose, with the chair's permission, should it be entered into a state where marriage was recognized for a long enough period where a divorce decree could be issued, courts throughout the country have addressed that in different ways, usually applying equitable principles and enforcing the terms of the aspects of the order, the intent of the order, without the terms of the order.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, I won't belabor it, but I'm not sure I agree, and I do some family work. I'm not sure I agree with that.
Senator Cohn. Further discussion? Senator Limmer?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate File 1308 be recommended to pass and be moved to the floor.
Senator Berglund is. Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move to lay Senate File 1308 on the table.
Madam Chair.
Senator Limmer.
I ask for a roll call on that vote.
Right. The motion to table is the higher motion, and so roll call has been requested. On the motion to table, clerk will take the roll, or CA will take the roll.
Chair Koch?
No.
Senator Bach?
Yes.
Senator Berglund?
Yes.
Senator Cohn?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
Senator Gerlach?
No.
Senator Langseth?
Yes.
Senator Limmer?
No.
Senator Michelle?
No.
Senator Ortman?
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
No.
There being five ayes and six noes, the motion is not adopted.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion.
Thank you. Senator Limmer's motion and Senator Limmer. Senator Berglund requested a roll call. Is that?
I did, but I thought we were doing a different motion.
Okay. Oh, sorry. All right. So the motion before us is adoption
and sent to the floor. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Senator Limmer. Next up, members, we have Senate File 731, Senator Hahn. And Senator Hahn, you also have Senate File 1101. So we'll take both of those.
Hold on. What do you mean that?
Start with 731.
So all my committees, you know, start doing really well.
It's tough.
The trails
It's like it's like.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Hahn, my understanding is these are lengthier bills, but you're here for in 731 for establishing an autism spectrum disorder task force. So if you could focus on that issue, which is the issue that you're before the Rules Committee for, I'd appreciate that. And
yes,
members as well, if we can confine that discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The Senate File 731 is the omnibus policy bill that we passed out of the Health and Human Services Committee last week.
Senator Hahn, can you just give us a second while we let everybody? We've got some folks. Thank you. Sorry, it was getting a little loud. Apologize for the interruption.
Sorry.
Please continue, Senator Hahn.
And I believe that the reason that the bill is before you in this committee is with respect to one of the provisions in the omnibus bill, which is actually Section 2 found on page 2, which is the Autism Spectrum Disorder Task Force. I believe that was a bill that Senator Senjum may have brought to the committee, and he may be better qualified than I to talk about the specifics of the task force. But what it does do is call for the creation of a task force that would look at the various issues surrounding autism. We all recognize autism is a large and growing issue in the state, and there are significant differences of view on what is the best way to treat or to manage autism. I think there's a lot of varying ideas, but perhaps not common agreement. And because of the nature of the condition and the desire for people to find effective ways to deal with it, and that may have some bearing, of course, on what we as a state adopt as policy, we felt this is probably a good thing to study. But I would like to see if Senator Senjum has any comments on the provisions in this section.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Senator Hahn. Yeah, just briefly, in 2009, through a Senate resolution, there was created a Senate Autism Task Force. They worked for about 6 months and submitted a report. And then following that, there was a task force recreated then, a legislated task force for 10 and 11. And so they have continued to work, and I think have done good work. We've got House and Senate members that participate. But it was only created at that point for 2 years, and as I recall, this is created for 2 years. It will expire in June 30th, 2015. So this is a four-year stint. But I think, as Senator Hahn pointed out, it's an important issue. One out of 110 births at this point are births of autistic children, and I think that the work of the task force is certainly appropriate to the work of the Senate, and we need to keep on top of this. And they're well-intended people, I think, that have done a good job and have stayed within their boundaries.
Thank you, Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, thank you. Maybe Senator Senjum could just advise us as to why the bill is asking for two members from the House and one member from the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. Excellent question, Senator Senjum.
Is it two?
It's two.
It's two and two, I believe.
Senator Berglund, if you look on where you find it, according to line 2.27, I've got two members of the Senate, and on line 2.30, two members of the House.
I guess the confusion, Madam Chair, excuse me. My confusion came in Subdivision 11, where two would be appointed by the Speaker and one would be appointed by the Senate Committee subcommittee on committees.
Perhaps Mr. Bodern could help us with that question. Mr. Bodern?
Madam Chair and Senator Berglund, there are two different types of legislative appointments here. There are members who are appointed to the task force, and you can see that beginning on line 2.27. And then I think the items you're looking at beginning, I believe, on line 3.9 are the legislative appointments of public members. And then adding a little bit to that, Madam Chair, I think those are balanced as well. Clause 7 is one member appointed, one public member appointed by the Senate. Clause 11 is contains a total of three members, two of whom are appointed by the House and one who is appointed by the Senate. So the public appointments are also balanced.
Okay, thank you very much. It was a little confusing. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. It is a little confusing, and I appreciate you watching out for the
Madam
Senate.
Madam Chair and members, we do at least in this most recent term, Senator Bonhoff and I have served. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Further discussion? All right. So I would entertain a motion. Motion would be that we recommend it pass and sent to the floor. Senator Senjum?
That's right. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, I would delightfully make that motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Senjum. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next up, Senator Hand, is Senate File 1101. And again, this is a bill establishing My Life, My Choices Task Force.
Yes. Thank you,
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And this, again, is before you because we are creating a task force. There are a set of three bills that have been proposed to the legislature, chiefly sponsored by Lutheran Social Services as an interested organization. And they are three proposals designed to bring about some movement toward reform in dealing with disabilities in the state and trying to find ways to do this more effectively. One of those bills is what you have before you, Senate File 1101. This is creating a task force called My Life, My Choices Task Force. We had an amendment in a state government committee, I believe, the last place it was at, where there was some work done to, structure the appointment of the members a little bit differently, and we tried to do, a little bit of work of this committee before it got here and try to clarify how that task force is going to be established. But there are people here from Lutheran Social Services, if any member has more detailed questions about what is being intended here by the task force. But the intent is to try to create a group of appropriate parties that could work with the commissioners to determine how to bring about greater flexibility as we deal with disability issues.
Okay. Senate members, I'm just informed in your packets is the first engrossment, but as Senator Hand indicated, there was a change. So we're getting copies of the second engrossment, and Mr. Bodern has offered to explain the slight differences or the differences there.
Madam Chair and Senator Hand, and doing this from memory because I just gave away my copy of the second engrossment, there were amendments made in the State Government Committee that clarified exactly how the appointments would be made. In particular, if you look at line 1.21, originally what this called for was joint appointments made by the Speaker of the House and the Senate Subcommittee on Committees, and the State Government Committee was a little confused about exactly how that would work. So those appointments were separated. The second engrossment provides that the Speaker separately appoints two of the public members, and which would include a representative of a disability advocacy organization and a representative of a disability legal services advocacy organization. And then it provides for the appointment of three members by the majority leader of the Senate, with two representatives from nonprofit organizations and a representative of a philanthropic organization. So basically those were separated, just to clarify that. But the otherwise, I think the the content of the bill is the same.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Hand, then Senator Cohn. Senator Hand?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bonner, and Madam Chair. And for members, just wanted to point out, too, that there are no costs associated with the creation of this task force. There is not the anticipation, and if you look on Subdivision 4 on page 2, 2.19, talks about there will not be expense reimbursement, and also that the staffing would be provided by the non-governmental organizations appointed to work with the task force. So this is not a bill that would have any cost to the state.
Appreciate that, Senator Hand. Senator Cohn.
Madam Chair, I was going to raise the concern as well. And Madam Chair, Mr. Bodden, there are also the changes on 119.
1.19, I believe.
Yeah, individual with disabilities.
Madam Chair and Senator Cohn, you're correct. Yes,
Mr. Bodden.
The State Governing Committee reworded that so that it's the membership. The appointments by the governor would include three individual members with different disabilities. I think the copies of the second engrossment are here now. And then the one other thing I do want to point out, the reason the bill is in the Rules Committee is actually the language at the end of Subdivision 2, which provides that the chairs and ranking minorities of legislative committees with jurisdiction over health and human services serve as ex officio members.
Okay. Further discussion, members? Got the second engrossment in front of you now. For the discussion. All right, then I would need a motion that Senate File 1101 pass and sent to the floor. Senator Fischbach moves.
Yes,
Senate
I
File
do.
1101 pass and move to the floor. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator Hand. And Senator Ingebrigtsen now. We have one further. Members, it's Senate File 158. Members, this has to do with the legacy dollars, but this bill, again, is before us for some changes to the Lasard Sams Heritage Council and the establishment of a Clean Water Council. Where is Senator Ingebrigtsen?
He's here. He was laid on the floor the other day, too.
All right, members. Mr. Bonner, can you direct us to the place in the bill, those changes that we need to be aware of?
So, Madam Chair, there are, as you said, there are two separate sets of changes that would be under the jurisdiction of the Rules Committee. Beginning on page 27, you'll see that the composition of the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council is not changed. However, there was some, the legislative members who were initially appointed serve for a defined term, and you can see that language on page 28, line 8. That language is stricken, and then it's clarified. I'm moving back and forth a bit, but the language you see on page 27 clarifies that the legislative members serve at the pleasure of the appointing authority. So that is relating to legislative appointments to that council. The major changes in here, the new language, relates to the Clean Water Council, and that begins on page 51 of the bill. And that is modeled after the Lasard Sams Heritage Council. And I can touch briefly on the legislative appointments. You'll see that on page 51, line 18. There are two members of the Senate, both appointed by the Subcommittee on Committees. And then page 51, line 31, further clarifies that paragraph D says that the legislative members shall include the chairs of the committees with jurisdiction over environmental and natural resources and shall include one member from the minority party of the Senate. Same treatment for the House members. And again, like the changes made to the Lasard Sams Council, they would be appointed at, they'd be serving at the pleasure of the appointing authority. Then at the bottom of page 52, and I'm skimming through this fairly quickly just to cover how the legislative appointments would be dealt with, you can see on page 52, line 28, this specifies how the appropriation covers expenses, and it says that up to 1% of the annual revenue in the Clean Water Fund may be used to pay for administrative expenses of the council, which would include compensation and expense reimbursement of the council members.
Mr. Bonner,
or Senator Ingebrigtsen, thanks for joining us.
Sorry about that, Madam Chair. I just assumed it was going to be a little longer. I had some students out front. So.
The compensation, the 1%, is that similar to what's done with the Lessard Council for the reimbursement?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Madam Chair?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
For what it's worth, that is exactly right. And right now, the Lessard administration is only spending half of that, but they have the authority to go up to 1%. So. Okay.
Thank you. Further discussion? Any questions, members? Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this is the exact right time to. We're just on the bill, right? I mean, I understand.
Yes.
So let me just make sure I understand.
Again,
because I did talk to you earlier about this, and I understand that technically the bill is before us. However, it's essentially sort of a ghost bill to get this issue before us on this council to discuss, and that amendments would probably be for naught, or they would be for naught, because this is not going to come together in the proper way. So this is not the proper forum, or I should say the way to accomplish something would not be to offer an amendment to this particular bill. Is that correct?
Senator Gerlach, we're particularly trying to focus on the councils that are created, the Clean Water Council and then the small change to the Lessard.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, so then then I'm not going to do anything on that. And because this is an opportunity where this bill is before us, to take an opportunity to make sure members are aware of the larger issue going on with the legacy funding and the Lessard SAMS funds, especially regarding parks and trails piece. And I know I've had many conversations with the chairman of the committee, Senator Ingebrigtsen, on this as well. And that has to do with the ratio of the parks and trails money. Of course, as we know, the 43-43, 43-43-14 is how it was currently. And now that is being shifted. And the proposal, I believe, in the bill is 37-37. Whatever else that leaves. Anyway, it's a dramatic reduction of dollars that are being allocated to the metro parks and those pieces. There was a lot of discussion in the Environment Committee. There were many amendments offered, and the makeup of that committee being what it was, is those were defeated. And my hope is just to make members aware that as this bill goes forward, to pay attention to those sections. And that I'm sure there will be additional amendments offered as the bill goes forward, and I'm sure there'll be a rigorous debate in the conference committee as well on that. That, in my opinion, there seems to be quite an overreach in that imbalance of those funds for the parks and trails. And so, members, I just want you to be aware of that, and please pay attention to that if you're representing metro districts, that those funds are important to a park system that has enormous amounts of visitors, enormous amounts on that park system, and that it's important that we pay attention to that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gerlach. A little afield, but Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Gerlach, I am so glad to hear that you are concerned about that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, in fairness, I think to that point, if I might.
We
certainly know where we were before was 14%, and the governor in his bill is bringing that up to 16% for regional parks. We don't think that's anywhere close to being fair. That's why you see the numbers as high as we've come in so far. But I certainly talked with Senator Gerlach and Senator Hall specifically about this, and I know their concerns, and we'll certainly be more than happy to work with them when we move forward.
Right. Thank you. Members, any other further discussion on the council's and the appointments? All right, then, members, I would need a motion that Senate File 158 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. You have yet another stop, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm sorry.
The motion will be that Senate 158 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. You have another stop in Finance.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
All right. Senator Fischbach moves. Senate 158 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Members, thank you very much for your work. And committee is adjourned.